I want to speak to you a few moments this morning about the things that we read and about the Lord Jesus Christ at this harvest time. We've had so many things from the Lord, haven't we? Who had breath this morning? Who breathed a breath the moment they woke up this morning? Well, all the children did, and they're alive, look. I can see the life in them, and we all did too. Our eyes worked when we opened our eyes this morning. God who made our eyes, he made them work again today. And we can see. Isn't he a faithful God? We had something to eat this morning, I trust. Unless you were at the supper last night and perhaps so you didn't need to eat this morning. There was so much food at the harvest supper last night. It's a lovely spread. But we ate again this morning. God gave things to us again this morning. And we trust he will at lunchtime and later on today. All these things we couldn't have by ourselves. We can't generate breath and eyes and food and all these wonderful things in the world without God. We can't do it. It's because of his faithfulness that we have all these things. Think about the food. Wasn't it appropriate that as we were singing about God's faithfulness, the children took their other gifts and left them there at the harvest display. Some food that they brought. And all the food that's been brought that can be eaten will be taken at the end of today to the shelter in Southampton so that others can have benefit of that, those that don't have so much. Isn't it appropriate that we give back to others and to God of the things that he'd given to us? But it's a fine balance, isn't it, making things grow and food in the world. Think of what's going on in America. We've seen that too much rain, it spoils, doesn't it? Too much rain brings floods. Not enough rain, and things won't grow. Too much rain, and things won't grow. Too much sunshine, things won't grow. Too little sunshine, things won't grow. It's an amazing balance. And God is holding the balance in the world and giving us all these things. Isn't it amazing? Tanya and I had some sweet corn to eat just recently. Children, who likes sweet corn? What color is it?
Yellow.
Who, do you like to eat it from the tin on your plate or do you like to eat it on the corn on the cob where you eat it straight off the cob? Corn on the cob. Do you like it with butter and a bit of salt on it? I like to put a bit of butter on, a bit of salt. And we ate some. In fact, I've eaten four this week. Does it show? Can you tell? I've had four corn on the cobs. It's great down here, isn't it? One of the best benefits of coming from Pontefract to Netley is we've left the licorice behind in Pontefract. And we've got the corn on the cob down here. It's great, isn't it, down here? Because you've got more sunshine down here. The corn on the cob, it's yellow because it's ripe and it's grown from the sun. God sends the sun to shine. We can't manufacture that or drum it up. God does that. And we come to say thank you to him. We prayed, didn't we, in our Lord's Prayer this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. And God has done that. He's answered our prayer, even if we didn't realize we were praying it today. And we trust he'll answer it again. But you know, harvest time makes us stop and think not just about food, not just about all of these things, the weather and the crops, but about lots of other things. And I'm going to talk this morning about a few things that Jesus made that crowd stop and think about. There was a conversation with Jesus in that passage we read in John chapter 6. And he made them stop and think about some things to do with God's world and to do with the coming of Jesus, that it was really good and necessary for them to think about and to have sorted in their minds and their hearts, and for us as well this morning. They came to him because they wanted food. They'd been filled. The previous day, he'd fed them. There's a couple of people that have been filled. I think that's a picture of the deacons of the church after last night's harvest supper, actually. What do you think? There was so much food. This guy's buttons are popping off his shirt because he's had so much food. The people were full of food. And the people that came to Jesus, these aren't pictures of them, they're just cartoons. But the people that came to Jesus in John chapter 6 were full of food from the previous day. Because Jesus, think about this, he'd fed every single one of them. There were over 10,000 of them. The Bible says there were 5,000 men, and then the ladies, and then the children. Over 10,000 at least, we reckon. Maybe 12,000, maybe 15, maybe 20,000. Jesus had fed every one of them. Their tummies were full of food. And because they'd eaten all the food, they came back to Jesus for some more. And they had food on their minds. They came to Jesus and they thought that if he gave them a bit more food, that it would satisfy them. I've got a slide about being satisfied. Nothing satisfies like coffee. Maybe that's you first thing in the morning. Maybe you're a bit like that chimpanzee on the right. Only ice cream will satisfy you in the summer. Guaranteed to satisfy. Well, everybody wants to satisfy. There's a book title, 101 Ways to Really Satisfy Your Customers. Everybody wants to be satisfied. We want something to fill our needs, our cravings, our appetites, our desires. We do, don't we? And the people came to Jesus like that. They wanted to be filled and they had food on their minds. But Jesus had a lot more than food on their minds, on his mind. Food isn't the thing that's the greatest thing of all. Food. Well, all that food looks great, but if we left that display there for a month, what do you think it might look like? Some of those fresh things that are there. Well, they go a bit manky, don't they? Children, can you work out what these bits of food are on the screen? Everything on that screen has gone mouldy. Can you see it? What's on the top at the left? What is it? Who likes pizza? Would you like it with that bit of mould in the middle? Can you see it? It's gone manky. What about in the middle? Anyone know what that is? It's a loaf of bread. Would you believe it? That one in the middle, it's a loaf of bread. It's gone all mouldy. What about on the right-hand side? Anyone for fresh fruit? It's a peach. And what about these two at the bottom? What do you think they are? Potatoes. They're oranges. Yeah. Wouldn't like to eat an orange like that. Do you know, if you got a pizza, fresh bread, fresh peach, fresh orange, and you left them out of the fridge for months and months and months, they'd go a bit like that. Food spoils. And Jesus said to the people, don't labor, don't work hard just for food that spoils. If the only appetite and urge and cravings you've got is for food, then that's just craving for something that's going to spoil. It will come and go. We had great dinner last night at the harvest supper. It was wonderful. And when I went home, I was satisfied. I missed out on the pudding because I was talking to too many people. But I was satisfied. I had enough. But this morning I got up and I still wanted more food. My tummy rumbled. And I ate actually the leftover banana that wasn't consumed from the chocolate fountains last night. That was my breakfast this morning, the leftover banana. I needed more food because the food that we had last night, it satisfied me for a time. But it didn't satisfy all of me, not fully. And Jesus isn't talking just about food. He wants to talk about the other things that really satisfy in our hearts. So he wanted to correct some thinking in them. And he showed them a few things that were wrong. And the older children, on your sheets, there are four questions at the top. If you want the answers, the first one's on the screen right now. And in the rest of the talk, you'll see the answers on the screen. Jesus wanted to correct some things that were wrong. And the first thing he wanted to correct in their mind was their wrong priority. They came with their tummies to fill. And Jesus said, it's not about tummies. It's not about filling your tummy with food. It's about truth. You see, your tummies get full and then they empty again. Food comes and it goes. Food is fresh and then it spoils. But truth, real truth, it doesn't change. It doesn't grow old. It doesn't spoil. Truth that's real always stays the same. I know the world tells us differently today. The world tells us that things change and that truths are different for different people in different ages. But we all know that's not true, don't we? We know that there's right and wrong, there's truth and falsehood. We know that a lie is still a lie, whatever, however you tell it. We know that certain things are still wrong. And Jesus said to these people, you're coming to me to fill your bellies. You come to me, he said, because you ate the loaves and had your fill. But don't labor for those kind of things. Don't labor. The Son of Man will give you food that endures to eternal life. There's truth that it will last forever, that won't just come and go. I can remember the first day that I bought my own food. I can remember when I was 5 and I was allowed to go down to the corner shop with my older brother And he took me down the corner shop. Who's five here this morning? Is there anybody five? I was 5 years old when I went down to the corner shop with my brother and bought my first sweets on my own without mum and dad. My brother helped me. And it was one of those little tabs. Do they still sell them? Those little tabs with little sort of sweets in them. And it was like 1 pence, I think. Do you like those? Well, that was the first sweets I ever bought. And I can remember when I was 13. Is anybody here 13 this morning? I probably don't think we've got anybody 13. Anybody 13? I was 13 when I first bought some sweets with money that I had earned. How about that? Not just that I'd been given. When I had a paper round and I went down the shop and I bought some sweets. And I can remember buying sweets and eating them. And I'd earned the money. But it soon came and went. I can remember it. But it soon came and went. My tummy was full and then it forgot all about it. It didn't last very long. And I've been filling my tummy, I know it shows, every day since then. And it soon goes. And I need some more. And you know, all the things in my tummy don't sort out my problems. They don't change the kind of person I am. They don't make me better. It doesn't sort out the things I've done wrong. It doesn't put all those wrongs right. But the truth of Jesus Christ can. Food keeps us alive for a bit longer. But it doesn't sort out the aches of the heart. And the issues before God. You know, Jesus came to sort out the issues of the truth. The truth of who you and I are. The truth of the world in which we live. The truth of how we should receive from God. From His faithfulness. From His kindness. From His grace. The things that He has given to us. Jesus didn't come to hand out food parcels. He came to bring us the truth. The truth about who He is, the Son of God. The truth about eternal life. I'm going to speak more about that a little bit later. It's not wrong to have enough food. It's not wrong to fill our tummies for lunch, of course. But Jesus said the priority of our life shouldn't just be about that. It should be about truth. Here's another thing. Number two. Children, you might need this one. Wrong religion. The people that were talking to Him, they had this sense of religion, you know, but they had it wrong. It's not about our best deeds, says Jesus. It's about believing. That was in the passage from verses 28 and 29. Jesus said to them when they asked Him, this is what they asked Him, this was their question, what must we do to do the works God requires? What can I do to make my life better, to please God? What can we do? And Jesus answered. He didn't give them what to do. This is what He said. The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. To be right before God, you don't do a whole lot of things. You believe in the one that He has sent. Now, they had learnt about God for many years, these people. They were religious people. Some of us learnt in Sunday school. These children are learning in Sunday school. Some of us learnt to say the Lord's Prayer. Well, how old were you when you first said the Lord's Prayer? Some of you were very young. Some of you in school, in Sunday school, in an assembly maybe. Some of us have learnt about it for many years. We said, Our Father in Heaven. We've learnt about God. And these people had learnt about God. But you know, they still had a few things wrong in their thinking and in their religion. They still had a few things wrong. It's not knowing about God. But it's believing in Him. The wrong idea that they had is shared by lots today. People think, well, I'll just plough my own field. Got a picture of a field. Here's a guy just ploughing in his field. Religion's not like that. We can't just work at it ourselves. You don't just plough along, do your own thing, do your best, do your deeds, stick it in your truck at the back and carry it all the way to God and say, Lord, well, this is what I have done. These are my deeds. It's not like that. Jesus says, that's not what it's about. We don't get into heaven like that with a truckload of the things that we've done. That's not the way it is. It's not about our good deeds. It's about believing. It's about believing that God can change our hearts and make us right with Him and take away all the wrongs that we have done. In the words of Jesus, to believe in the one He has sent. He's talking about Himself. It's a big change, that. It's a big change, isn't it, in our religion, to think that God can make me right when I can't make myself right. I lived for years thinking I could make myself right. It's just possible somebody here this morning might think that they can make themselves right. We can't do it. I can't and you can't. Only Jesus can make us right. It's a big change. It's a big change in thinking. I was on the phone this week to somebody in Swansea in Wales, and they told me a story, a true story, of a man who walked into a church 3 months ago. And he was a bit of a criminal, this guy. Actually, he was a lot of a criminal. And he'd lived a checkered past. And he was well known for having beaten up a lot of people. He'd done lots of prison time. And he was a bit of a rough character, the kind of guy that you wouldn't want your children to be anywhere near. And he woke up one Sunday morning 3 months ago, and he decided that he didn't want to walk that road anymore, and he needed to get cleaned up. And he'd heard a thing or two about this born-again stuff. So he walked into the... He got dressed up. He'd never been to church in his life. And he walked into a church in Swansea, the middle of Swansea, the local Church of England church. And he walked in, and he saw somebody in the door. And the first person he said, "I've come to hear about that born-again stuff. I need to change the way my life's going. Can you help me?" And you never believe the answer that he got. The person said, "I'm sorry, we don't do that here. You need to go and find somewhere else." He walked into a church to try and change the direction of his life, and he was told, "We don't do that here." The person on the door went and asked somebody else, came back and said, "Well, if you want that born again, if you want to change inside, well, you better go down the street to that evangelical place down the road. They might be able to help you." And they sent him out of the church. Unbelievable. Anyway, to finish the story, he did walk down the street. He did walk into the evangelical place. And within a week, he had been born again and changed. And now, believe it or not, God has called his life. And he's training to tell other people about Jesus already. Incredible story. He knew he needed a change inside. He didn't want to go to church and be told what to do. He didn't want to go to church and be told, "Well, do this, don't do that, do this, dress like that. Be like somebody else and you can get it." He didn't want that. He knew he needed a new beginning inside. And eventually he found the Lord who changed his inside. Friends, it's not about our good deeds. The message of this church, the message of the Bible, the message of Jesus is, you can't work at it yourself and just get right. We need to be changed by what God can do for us. We can't pretend. We need him to change us inside. We need to believe that he can do it. It's not about good deeds. It's about believing. Here's the next thing. Here's the third one. Kids, for your sheet. He showed them something else wrong. It's not about seeing bigger miracles, but about receiving real life. It's not about seeing bigger miracles, but about receiving real life. They wanted some extra proof that he was who he said he was. You can kind of understand that, can't you? He said he'd come from God. He was calling God his Father. He was saying that he was sent to come and to rescue and change people. And they said, "Well, prove it to us. Show us a bigger miracle. What are you going to do?" they said. Verse 30, "What miraculous sign are you going to do so that we can believe you?" And he said, "Well, do you really need anything else? Haven't I just fed all these thousands of people with a few fish and a few bits of bread?" They quoted Moses from way back in the Old Testament. They said, "Well, Moses gave the people this special bread, this manna. Can't you do something like that?" And he said, "Well, it wasn't Moses that did that. It was God that sent it from heaven. How do you think the bread came to be there? It's from God. Do I need to do anything more? Do I need to show you anything more? I've already given you incredible bread. I've done an incredible miracle. And me coming is a miracle from God, just like the feeding of the bread. Do I really need to show you anything more?" It's possible somebody here this morning might say, "Well, if only God could show me something more, something miraculous, I'll believe." Can I just ask you a minute? Has he not already really shown us so many miraculous things? What about the star-filled sky? Isn't it amazing? What about the fingerprints unique on a new baby's hand? Those of you that are parents and grandparents, haven't you looked at the fingerprints? I know they're all grown up a little bit now, but when they were first born, weren't they so tiny, beautiful and precious? Wasn't there wonder and awe? Didn't your heart almost miss a beat looking at the awe and the beauty? What about the world around us, the colors and the beauty and the intricacy of how it all fits together? Hasn't God shown us so many miracles? and shown us that he is to be believed? What about the miracle of Jesus coming back to life and being raised from the dead? How about that miracle? To show that he is the Son of God with power to change lives. He says in verse 33, he calls himself, he says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, real life. Jesus can give life to those that need it. Not just a food handout, but real life. The harvest grows because God gives it life. Human beings are born because God gives them life. And hearts are remade and made to live forever spiritually because God gives them life. There'll be no spiritual life without Jesus giving it to us. He died that our sins might be taken away. He died on the cross for that reason. He came back to life, to not just to show us, but to bring real life to us. These children can live forever. We can live forever when we trust and believe that real life is in Jesus. Life that will save us and clean us up and change our hearts to be alive to him. Miracles won't change our hearts if they're closed to God. But receiving real life from Jesus, it will. It will. He's the God of life. The greatest miracle of all, of course, is that he could have anything to do with people like us, with the darkness and the ruin of our own hearts, that God would love us and rescue us and change us, give life to us. What a miracle that is. One last thing. Number four. They had a wrong view of who he was, wrong view of Jesus. They thought he was an ordinary man. And Jesus wanted to teach them in those verses at the end that he wasn't an ordinary man, but the true Savior. This is the root of their mistakes. And without actually realizing it, it might be the root of your mistakes this morning. It certainly was the root of mine. I actually went to church not really realizing that Jesus was the true Son of God and the true Savior. And you can go to church quite easy without just realizing it, that you think it's all just human and ordinary. It's just somebody's faith, somebody's bent, somebody's religion. When you realize that Jesus is the true Savior, the true Son of God, it changes all of your perspective and all of your view of him. He came as the Son of God to deliver, to save people. He said, I am the bread of life. He came to give real life. Look at those words. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. That's not just filling our tummies. That's life that will well up forever. Never go hungry. Never go thirsty. He's talking about the needs of our own hearts. Did you see the pictures of that burning bus on Friday night or Saturday morning? On that motorway, I-45, out of Texas. It was a 160-mile traffic jam, wasn't it? People were trying to get out of Texas because Hurricane Rita was coming. And all the cars were going in one direction. Everybody wanted to get out. They wanted to get a car. They wanted to get fuel to get out because the storm was coming. But then that tragic scene, that bus carrying elderly residents from one particular area. And they were caught on the bus and an oxygen bottle exploded and the bus was on fire. And they were losing their lives on the bus. And they could, the passers-by could see people behind the glass. And they were crying to be rescued from the bus. And passers-by that had done everything they could to get out of Texas. They'd made sure they'd got some fuel. They'd made sure that nothing was distracting them, apart from the traffic jam, of course. They wanted to get out. Nothing was holding them getting out of the way of that hurricane. But I tell you what, when they saw the need of people on the bus, there were dozens and dozens of people that stopped their cars, got out of their cars and went to that bus. And some of them went on the bus and dragged people off. People went into the flames because they saw the need of people on the bus. And they stopped running. They stopped their own safety to try and rescue people that were in need. Tragically, some were lost, weren't they? But some were saved. Jesus left the comfort of heaven. And he came to this world not to feed our tummies. But he came to rescue us from our need. He sees our need. And we should sense our own need of him. Not for food that perishes, but for this kind so that we'll never go hungry in our souls, hungry in our hearts, thirsty in our hearts. He will rescue us if we believe in Him. Food for the soul, not just for the body. It goes on and on and on. Look at the bottom verse. Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. This goes on beyond this world. In fact, there are three ways here that we can be rescued by Jesus. Look, it says it quite clearly. We must look to the Son. We must believe in Him. And we must receive eternal life. They're the things we must do, says Jesus. We must look to Him. That means just focus upon Him and realize He's the only one that can save us. Then we must believe in Him. We must believe that when He died to take my sin away. And believe that He's powerful enough to change me and save me. And then we must receive eternal life that He gives to everyone that trusts. You can be 3, 4, 5 and you can trust God. You can be 9, 10, 11, 12. You can be 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. And this way is always the same. We look to Jesus, we believe in Him, and we receive His eternal life. I wonder if anybody grumbled last night after the harvest supper. I hope not. Do you know these people 2,000 years ago that heard Jesus say these incredible words? Do you know what they said next? I'll read it to you. At this news, the Jews began to grumble. It's unbelievable. They were offered and given this fantastic message of salvation. And they grumbled. I trust this morning that we won't grumble at our food. We won't grumble at all the good things God has given us. We'll say thank you. But most of all, let's not grumble that He sent us His Son, Jesus, to be our Savior and to rescue us and to give us such a wonderful salvation.